Imagine you're running a cross-functional project with tight deadlines and shared milestones. One teammate hoards information, refuses to share resources, and optimizes solely for their own metrics. And even if that means duplicating work or withholding vital data, they're often absent from collaborative sessions, returning only to promote their own achievements. Colleagues start to wonder, are we being set up to fail so they can look like the savior? Morale tips, trust erodes. You feel torn. Do you confront this person, cater to them, or ignore the behavior and hope it resolves itself?
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And today we continue our new mini-series on difficult leadership situations to help you navigate tricky dynamics in your team. Today, we're exploring the selfish team member, the colleague who prioritizes their own success over collective progress. And one quick reminder before we dive in, this fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its Leadership Academy. It's an online academy. The first course will help leaders decode the psychological and biological traps that hold organizations back. Stay tuned for more details in the weeks ahead. Now, as always, let's talk about the evolutionary angle and scientific facts first. Selfishness in teams is not a modern invention. Our ancestors evolved in small bands where cooperation was essential for survival. Hunting, gathering, and child-rearing required pooling resources and sharing knowledge. Yet, individuals also faced incentives to hoard and free-ride. If you could benefit from the group's efforts while keeping your own resources for yourself, you gained an advantage, at least temporarily. This tension between individual self-interest and group welfare shaped human psychology. On one hand, evolutionary psychologists have shown that humans possess strong reciprocity and fairness instincts. And again, we have all the literature mentioned in the show notes. People willingly incur personal costs to punish free riders and cheaters, even when they have nothing to gain. This tendency, sometimes called strong reciprocity, helps maintain cooperation. It explains why we get angry when someone withholds information that could help the team. It feels like a breach of our evolved norms of sharing and fairness. The same research points out that groups will often form coalitions to marginalize or sanction selfish members. On the other hand, there are strategic motives for selfish behavior. In situations with scarce resources or intense competition, individuals may perceive collaboration as risky. Sharing knowledge could erode their unique value. Anthropologists note that status in ancestral groups sometimes depending on controlling scarce resources like food or tools, which could be withheld to gain leverage. And in today's knowledge economy, information has become the new currency. People who see themselves as irreplaceable may fear that sharing will make them expendable. The selfish colleague may thus be acting on an ancient instinct: protect your niche to secure your status. All right, that's why free riders exist. So what are we going to do about it? Before you label a teammate as selfish, consider the context. Are they hoarding because they're overwhelmed and lack trust in others? Do they fear being judged or losing status? Research on psychological safety, the shared belief that it's safe to take interpersonal risks, shows that low safety levels lead people to withhold information and avoid collaboration. So you as a leader are responsible for building this culture of psychological safety. So ask yourself first, maybe am I the one who actually creates this environment where someone needs to hoard, needs to not share? Equally, some individuals display what psychologists call social dominance orientation, a preference for hierarchy and inequality. They may believe the world is a zero-sum game, where only the strong survive, leading them to prioritize their own gains over group welfare. And consider also the ripple effect. Selfishness erodes trust, which is crucial for team effectiveness. When people fear being exploited, they guard their knowledge, reducing innovation speed. This negative spiral, selfishness breeding more selfishness, can cripple projects. Leaders must break the cycle by addressing both the behavior and the underlying culture. Now, here are a few tried and trusted tips how to do this. 1. Set norms rooted in reciprocity. Our fairness instincts can be harnessed to reduce selfishness. Leaders should clarify shared goals, highlight interdependence, and design processes that reward collective success. For example, joint metrics. Evaluate and recognize both team outcomes and individual contributions. If bonuses or promotions hinge solely on personal performance, people will optimize for themselves. Or promote public commitments. At the outset of a project, ask each team member to state what resources they control and how they will share them. Social contracts activate reciprocity norms. Or develop transparent information systems. Use shared repositories and open dashboards so knowledge is accessible by default. When information is openly available, hoarding becomes visible and socially costly. Tip 2. Channel status motives productively. Selfish colleagues often seek recognition and control. Rather than penalizing them outright, channel their ambitions into roles that serve the group. For instance, mentor roles. Ask the individual to coach junior members or lead training sessions. Teaching positions them as an expert, satisfying their status needs while fostering knowledge diffusion. Or assign task ownership with accountability. Assign them responsibility for a critical task, but tie success to the team's adoption or to user output. This links their achievement to a broader uptake. Or let them lead a cross-silo initiative. If they care deeply about their own function, have them spearhead an initiative that requires collaboration across departments. They'll be forced to think beyond their silo to succeed. Tip 3, what always helps or should help, is coaching and a direct dialogue. Direct conversations are crucial. Avoid public shaming, which can trigger defensiveness. Instead, meet privately to discuss the impact of their behavior. Use a coaching mindset. I've noticed our team is struggling because resources aren't shared. Your expertise is valuable, but we need your insights more widely for us all to succeed. Ask open questions. What concerns do you have about sharing? Listen for fears, loss of control, being misinterpreted. And then co-create solutions. Research on pro-social motivation shows that reframing tasks around helping others increases sharing and effort. Highlight how their contribution will improve collective outcomes. And then tip 4, of course, again, most importantly, model that culture of generosity. As a leader, your own actions send powerful signals. Share your knowledge freely. Acknowledge when you don't know something and ask for help. Recognize and reward collaborative behavior publicly. When someone offers resources or information unprompted, praise them. Over time, these rituals create a culture where generosity is celebrated and selfishness is socially costly. Psychologist Alan Grant's work on giver culture suggests that teams with high levels of helping and knowledge sharing outperform those dominated by individualistic takers. However, givers thrive only when takers are held accountable. Otherwise, they burn out. That's why both cultural norms and structural safeguards are necessary. Leaders must establish clear expectations and be willing to address persistent selfishness through performance feedback or, if needed, personal decisions. So that leaves us with 3 takeaways. Call to actions. 1. First, see beneath the surface. Don't demonize from the get-go. Selfish behavior often springs from deep evolutionary instincts to hoard scarce resources or protect one's status. Before reacting, diagnose the motives and the environment. Fear and lack of trust are often the root. 2, design for reciprocity. Create structures that reward team success. Make commitments public and normalize knowledge sharing. Channel status desires through mentorship or cross-functional leadership roles. And 3, it all starts and ends with yourself. Model and coach generosity. Live the values you want to see. Praise collaboration, address selfishness privately, and co-create a plan for more inclusive behavior. For your example, you guide your team towards service to the pack. All right, this was it again for today. If this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who is interested in leadership. And don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its new online leadership academy this fall. It's packed with insights, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let your ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.